Well, good morning. This is John Alls, and I'd like to welcome you this morning on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Now, this morning, we'll be continuing on the topic of properly laying up treasure. And, of course, it's been no great surprise, of course, to find that it isn't all about working to earn as much money as we can. It isn't about having as many possible friends and acquaintances as possible. But instead, it's about putting God first, serving Him faithfully, and doing all things to bring glory and honor to His name. So as we listen to this message, may we keep in our mind our own lives. Are we putting Him first? Are we using our life to bring Him glory and honor? And so as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds, I'd encourage you to not just halfway listen, but to use this time and to use the reading as these scriptures as a mirror and to look at your own life and to take stock of where you're laying up treasures right now.
We're preaching concerning the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, and beginning in verse number 19 down through verse number 34. We have taken about two Sundays, and we have preached to you concerning lay not up for yourselves treasuries upon this earth, but rather we need to lay up our treasures in heaven. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul did. In the book of Galatians 2 and verse 20 and 21, he states, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We ought to live the kind of life that Christ wants us to live. Christ wants you to live the kind of life that is pleasing unto Him. After all, you are going to be judged by Christ one of these days. The Apostle Paul has spent his life. It's already gone. And he now stands before God, and he is going to give an account to God for everything in his life. He is facing that, and you are facing that, and I am also facing that. I need to lay up my treasures in heaven, not upon this earth. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But Matthew 6 and verse 22 through 24 states this, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The Bible goes on in verse 24. And he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Jesus Christ ends verse 24 by stating, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Christ is here stating that service to him is a very personal thing. It is not a collective thing. It is not something that you do because somebody else does it. Service is a very personal thing that only you can do. The Bible states here that whether your eye is full of light or is full of darkness, which in turn either causes your body to be full of light or it causes your body to be full of darkness. Christ is really saying here, what are you thinking about most of the time? It is obvious that what we think about is what we become. So Christ is asking a very personal question here. He is speaking to every person, and he is saying what every person must answer for themselves and only for themselves. And either you're going to be thinking what's right or you're going to be thinking what is wrong. You're either going to be thinking about what God wants you to think about or you're going to be thinking about something else. Absolutely, that is so. Somebody might say, well, here's the thing. I have some light and have some darkness. In other words, some people might answer, well, some things that I think about are good, and some of the things that I think about are wrong. This is not exactly what Christ is stating in verse 24. It is true that all of us have some negative thoughts. And that's because of the sinful nature that we have. And everybody has that sinful nature. This is not what Christ is referring to. He is not saying that you must always think right. Christ knows we don't do that. But Christ wants us to have our mind more on Him and doing what He wants us to do than on this world. Absolutely, that is so. Christ is not saying that having some negative thoughts will fill you full of darkness. He is saying that if all a person ever sees or thinks about is evil, all of that will cause your entire body to be filled with evil. Christ is saying that we ought to be consistent. Christ is saying that our daily thoughts ought to be centered on God and on eternal things. I know you've got to go to work. That's just the way it is. You've got to make a living. But Christ is not saying quit your job. He's not saying that. Christ is saying that true believers must be obedient to His eternal will while they still live in these natural bodies and they're still surrounded by sin and the consequences of sin. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. Read again in the book of Matthew 6 and verse number 22. Jesus Christ says, "The light of the body is the eye. If, therefore, thine eye be single," that is, if your eye only looks toward the things of God, I know other things come in that, but if everything you do is centered on Christ and what He wants you to do, He said, "Thy whole body shall be full of light." But notice in verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil," that is, if you're always thinking about what is evil, what you can do in this present life, that's for you, that's evil. The Bible said, "Thy whole body shall be full of darkness." If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Christ is saying very clearly here, I think very plainly, that we ought to be thinking what He wants us to think. And He will take care of everything else. We don't need to fill our bodies with evil thoughts, with evil imaginations. We need to have our mind and our heart only upon those things that are eternal. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. In verse 24, Jesus Christ says this, "No man," that includes you and that includes me, "no man can serve two masters." That's absolutely the way it is. We must be only thinking about and doing the things that God wants us to do in this life. And I know that Jesus Christ is speaking here to people that had jobs. They had to go to work. They had to supply the necessities of their families. And for themselves, they had to do that. And God is not saying, don't go to work. You think of in the Bible, the woman Ruth, who was a very good woman, and she went to work every day, supplying for her and Naomi. That is absolutely the truth. But it was while she was at work that she found the answer to what she needed. That's the way it is. You see, a person needs to have on their mind to do the thing that God wants them to do, and God will always bless. Don't ever put God on a shelf. Don't ever in your work, don't ever put God upon a shelf and say, I can't talk about God here because I'm talking about work here. Don't ever do that. But always think of the things that God wants you to say and God wants you to do, and realize that you're dealing with people all around you. And they need to understand that you're a Christian, that you're a person that wants to do what God wants them to do. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Jesus Christ said in verse 24, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." This is exactly the way it is. So, we must look in our life and ask ourselves who we are serving. Are we serving God? Or are we serving self? Are we serving the one that is evil? Are we serving to get money? That's what mammon is the things of this world. Are we just doing what we do to get money so we can enjoy the things of this world? Or are we dedicating ourselves to doing what God wants us to do? Remember, a very crucial element in all of this is that Christ will judge you and Christ will judge me. Will God look at our life as being full of light, or will he look at our life as being full of evil? This is a very important eternal question that God is asking us. Is our life what he wants it to be, or is our life simply what we want it to be? Notice, in the book of Luke 9, in verse 57 through 62, this passage states this: "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now it may be that you have said to Christ, I will follow you wherever you lead me to go. Jesus said this unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus said to these people, if you're trusting in me, you cannot trust in having anything at all. God may give you a lot of things, but your goal and your chief ambition in life ought to be to do only what God wants you to do." Now, this lesson continues in Luke 9, in verse 59, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Today there are many who say they will follow Christ just as soon as whatever is before them is over. But this is not what Christ wants us to do at all. Remember Elijah, who was searching for a prophet that would be faithful to God after he was taken away? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Kings 19, verse 19 through verse 21, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." Now Elisha has a problem before him. Will he follow God, or will he continue in the farming operation that he was in? I tell you what, Elisha was a very profitable farmer. The Bible said here that he had 12 yoke of oxen. That's 24 oxen that he was plying with. He was very prosperous. Would he leave all of that behind to do only the thing that God wanted him to do? The Bible said in verse 20, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. You might say, that's a very good thing that Elisha did. He said to Elijah, just let me go. I want to go and I want to tell my mother and my daddy goodbye, and then I will follow thee. Elisha said unto him, go back again. What have I done to thee? In other words, Elijah told Elisha, no. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to leave everything behind. You're going to have to do everything that God wants you to do and nothing else. The Bible said at that point, in verse 21, Elisha returned back from Elijah, and he took a yoke of these oxen, and he killed them, he slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You see, what God wants us to do is to be fully dedicated to him. Elisha was fully dedicated to the Lord. Now, you might ask yourself, what did Elisha get for all that? You might ask yourself that question. It's a very valid question. Listen, the Bible states that Elisha did twice the miracles that Elijah did. Understand this very vital truth, that if you give up whatever you want to give up for the Lord, God will always give you more than you ever gave up. That is the truth. That is exactly what God has said. If you just give up things that he wants you to give up, God will always give you more than you ever had before. Think of the Apostle Paul. How much did he give up? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in Galatians 2, verse 20 and 21, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Look what he said. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Paul said that God was well able to supply more for him. He gave Paul peace. God also could give Elisha peace. God can give you peace. Maybe all of the trouble and all the strife that's in your life right now is because you have not given up what God wants you to give up for him. Therefore, God will not give you more. You reckon? It might be just that very reason that what God wants you to do is to just give up everything and to serve and follow him. God has more for you than you could ever imagine. We need to give up all for the cause of Christ and just be what God wants us to be. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse number 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. You might try it, but you can't do it. The Bible says here, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is telling people on this earth that they cannot serve God and mammon. It's either one way or the other. You must dedicate yourself wholly unto God or wholly unto this world. And that is it. Now, that's not what I said. That is exactly what Jesus Christ declared to the people in his day that were listening to the Sermon on the Mount. That is exactly the truth. God will always supply more for you than you could ever imagine if you will first do what he wants you to do. This is the way it is. Notice in verse number 25, the first word of verse 25 is, therefore. Jesus Christ is saying all these things to let the people know that he is very powerful. Jesus Christ is saying he can control everything. He says, therefore, I say unto you, and notice what he says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I remember so very well, years ago when I first read this passage, and I thought, how could it even be that God would take care of me? But God has. God has blessed me in a great way. You see, the Bible says, take no thought, that is, worry, or don't be anxious about your life, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. The Bible says that life is more than meat. It's more than just covering the body with clothes. It's more than that. Sometimes we're taught erroneously. Sometimes we're taught that we need to go out and get all the gusto we can, because we'll have a little time to live. And the little time we have to live, we need to gain all the prestige and all the power that we can possibly gain for ourselves now. This is not the way it is. God is well able to protect us, and God is well able to watch over us, and God is well able to supply for us in food, in clothing, in shelter. God is well able to do that. God wants His children. God wants His people to be wholly dependent upon Him and not trust all the things that they do or that they have. God wants us to trust Him more than anything else. The Bible said, don't worry about your life. God can take care of that. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Because God says, I know more than you know. If we just trust the living and the whole God, He knows what we need. The Bible said in verse number 26, behold the fowls of the air. Just look at a bird. They live and they prosper and they have everything that heart could wish. They build a nest. They do everything that sustains them in this life. Now you might say, well, a bird dies. Well, we are too. I mean, we're going to pass away too. We need to trust God. Our life is temporary. The life that we now live upon this earth, it doesn't last very long. The Bible says, are you not much better than they? The Heavenly Father feeds the birds. The Heavenly Father does all that. They don't reap. They don't sow. They don't gather into barns. They don't do all that stuff. And they're fed by Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible said in verse 27, which of you by taking thought, or that is, which of you by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take your thought for raiment? Why you worry about that stuff? I mean, God will always supply everything that you need. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God is well able to bless if we would just trust Him. Jesus is telling the people that's listening to His Sermon on the Mount that if they would just trust God, if they would just trust Jesus Christ, if they just rely upon Him and Him alone, and just step out and do the things that God has burdened them to do, God will always supply for them. If God has called you to preach, God can bless your ministry. If God has called you to be a helper in the church, God will always bless that. He always will. Don't hesitate to follow the things of God. You think about Elisha, who that day killed a yoke of oxen, and he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. God blessed him in such a great way. And God is well able to bless you as well. But what God wants is total dedication to him. He is the master. If you just try it out for yourself and see how great that God is and how much that he can bless you. God is a very able God. He knows about tomorrow. We don't. But God knows about tomorrow. God knows about everything that we need. If we just totally trust in him and depend upon him, he will supply very quickly. Just believe in him. Trust him is our prayer for you. I preach these things unto you because I know that God will supply for you, because God has richly supplied for me down through these many, many years that I preached his own word. God has been very faithful to his promises to me. And I know that God is very able to fulfill the things for you, even if you don't understand right now how that he can even do that. Listen, there's been times in my life that I have not understood exactly how God is going to do what he's going to do. But God has laid upon my heart that I might be found faithful and obedient to him. And God has always supplied for me. I pray that you might understand that God is well able to bless you, your family. And God is well able to take care of every issue that comes up. He knows about it beforehand. God will bless. And that's our prayer, that you might understand. By faith we serve God. By faith is the unknown. Just rely upon the Lord, and he will supply for you.
Well, earlier in the message, Pastor Reynolds stated, he basically said that, you know, none of us ever get it right 100% of the time. We all make mistakes. We all fall. The question is, are we striving to make sure our life is used to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're saved, then it should break our heart when we see the ways in which our lives become a stumbling block to others, or when we sin and when we don't share the gospel message to a lost and dying world. Those things should break our hearts. And may we remember that this world is not where our treasure is, but eternity is what's important. And live every day by seeking the Lord first, doing things that bring glory to him, and he will bless you. Well, as we start to wind down this morning, we do want to once again invite you to join us for services this morning. We'll be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. The services this morning will start with Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by 11 a.m. worship services. And then in the afternoon, we'll have a 3:45 prayer meeting. And then at 4:30, we're going to have worship services again. We'd also like to point you toward our website for any other resources that you might need. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. Again, that's independencebaptist.org. And from that website, you're going to find a lot of different books, articles, and sermons that are available there. We'd also encourage you to check out sermonaudio.com/IBC if you'd like to listen to full-length sermons from Independence Baptist Church. These include topics like how the church was organized, how we should be studying, how attitude can make the difference, and then what the Bible says about exceeding. Well, the clock is telling me that our time for today is up, but we do look forward to joining you again next Sunday at 8 a.m., for another message from God's holy word about properly laying up treasure.